You join me in the salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Lockwood.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
Okay, I have notices from Councilperson Mutchler and Councilperson Ingram to be excused. I have not heard anything from Councilperson Zimmerman. So at this time, I'd entertain a vote to excuse Councilperson Mutchler and Councilperson Ingram.
So moved.
Both on vacation.
So moved.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 4-0. As to where Councilperson Zimmerman is, I have not heard. I haven't checked my emails. I was at a meeting previous, but I haven't seen anything either. So
okay.
We will move on, wondering where he is. I'll do a public comment. Okay, we're going to do the public comment period. This is the period where you can come forward and speak to the council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda, anything that's not on the agenda. We have the one thing, the public hearing, that will be later. So if you want to speak on the public hearing on the Central Public Facilities, that will be later. So this is anything that randomly you'd like to address the city council. So do I have any takers? There's one. I have a second, but he's just shy. Welcome, sir.
Eric Elton, 2632 Lock Heron Drive, Ferndale. I just want to invite the council and the city and to the Ferndale Public Market on September 14th. We're doing an extended market from 2 to 5. We'll be giving away hot dogs and donations going to the food bank. Also, the Sugar Shack ice cream truck will be there. And if anybody donates to the food bank, we'll give them a free coupon for free ice cream. So I'd like to invite the council to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Back here. Welcome, sir.
Hi. My name is Robert Hakeem. I live at 2308 Douglas Road. And I want to speak about the library bond ordinance. I guess it's in the form of a question. And as I was reading through the literature, it talks about a Cashmere Valley Bank. And I'm just wondering, how does that work? Or maybe somebody could send me something?
I think we could probably answer that fairly quickly for you.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. I'll go sit down now.
I would go to our finance director for that answer.
The Cashmere Valley Bank works pretty well. What we do on when we do general obligation bonds, we can either go through a bond broker in Seattle, or we can simply get quotes from different banks to purchase these bonds and not go with a public offering. So in this case, we got quotes from three banks, and Cashmere Valley Bank was the clear low-interest winner. So we picked them, Cashmere Valley Bank. We've done business with them before.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Okay, anyone else for the public comment period?
What a surprise.
Papa John Robinson. I live at Malloy House, 6072 Malloy. Two things tonight. The first is just to put it in context for those who haven't heard me previously, is the crosswalk and the crosswalk signs that are not there at Hovander and Main, and the crosswalks that are not there at near the east side of Hagen's, going to the bus stop, and then down the street a bit where the credit union is across from the Asian Bistro. And I did challenge y'all last time to ask you if you would park your cars downtown and then walk from there on the south side of the road all the way down to Walgreens. And then a second challenge was to walk from the east side of Hagen's across the street down to the Asian Bistro and across. How many of you had time to do that? Okay, good. I see several of you. So I'm going to ask next month for the rest of you. Okay, I'm going to be persistent. I'll be here ad nauseum, okay? Second thing I have is this incredible thing that happened to me. Since I'm a Ferndalian, I wanted to share with you you can say you knew Papa John before he became rich and famous, because this happened right here in Ferndale. Y'all have, now I walk every day, as you know, and I sometimes find money. Occasionally, or more often than not, I should say, I find trash, which I do put in the, that's another meeting, incidentally, I do put in the receptacles where they're available, and sometimes I find my way home. But I found something incredibly famous here, you know. The catcher for the New York Yankees, Yogi Berra, has some Berraisms, I think they're called, one of which is, and you may remember this, that if you come to a fork in the road, take it. You remember that? Well, I found the fork in the road right here on Main Street, and here it is right here. Now, for those of you who cannot see it, it is flattened. I can verify if you want to look at it later. It's been run over. It's on Main Street. So this is going to be world famous. Once I become famous, I'm going to remember Ferndale, and you can have your culinary kitchen, you and Mel, and sell all the hot dogs and balloons you want to. So anyhow, I told these folks here they're going to be just aghast and amazed. But here it is. When I get a hold of him, I'll be rich and famous, and you guys will be able to say, hey, I once knew that guy when he wasn't so rich and haughty. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, before I move on to the next item.
Mayor?
Yes.
I'd just like to comment on what John said about walking, and I did take him up on his challenge. And as a driver and walking, I can see the difference. And I think it's one of these things that maybe we have one of our esteemed reporters here needs to write a little article or something about car versus pedestrians right-of-way type things, because I can see how the people don't adhere to giving pedestrians the right-of-way. And it's kind of like, is that car going to stop for me or not, or those type of issues. And I think it's what you're addressing, John, is not necessarily a signage or whatever. I think it's just more of a bad driver thing that we have that's kind of floating around, and maybe people need to get reminded, you know, pedestrians come first and type of a thing. So I just wanted to address that.
Well said. Well said.
Okay, so before we get the next item on the agenda, it's my pleasure to read to you a mayor proclamation. This one is near and dear to my heart, being a cancer survivor myself. So this is a mayor proclamation. Whereas thousands of children nationwide, including Ferndale and Whatcom County, fight pediatric cancer each year, and whereas funding for pediatric cancer research has gone down steadily since 2003, and whereas cancer remains the leading cause of death by disease for children under the age of 15, and whereas despite major advances in treatment, it is still critically important to conduct research and increase awareness regarding pediatric cancer, whereas September is recognized across America as National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. Now, therefore, I, Gary Jensen, Mayor, City of Ferndale, do hereby proclaim September 2013 as Childhood Cancer Awareness Month in the City of Ferndale. I urge all citizens to join me in reaffirming our commitment to fighting childhood cancer, signed this third day of September 2013. And I believe someone in the audience was going to get this copy, so can you come forward, sir, and we'll present this copy to you? Thank you very much. Okay, so we'll move on to the consent agenda. I would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, move and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries 3-1. Okay, next up is a public hearing on... What's that?
All ordinances on the consent agenda will not pass with a 3-1 vote. The ordinances need the 4. So do we need to pull them off?
Is there something you want to have pulled off?
No, I didn't want to waste any time with it since it was 6-1 last time. I knew where it was going to go this time.
We could pull off just that issue and then re-vote. So was it that if we pulled off the
library bond?
The library bond ordinance?
Well, as I told you before, that's the only thing I'm opposed to is the policing.
So, Council, let's do it where we're going to pull off the library bond ordinance.
We'll deal with that at a later date.
Does that affect, well, I guess it doesn't matter. Rent and way, it affect the, Mark, is it going to affect the issuing of the bonds or anything if we had to delay it until next council meeting?
We can recover.
Okay, so we're going to take library bond ordinance off. We're going to revote the consent agenda with everything else on that so we can move forward. So,
do you need a new motion as well?
Yes.
Okay. I'll move to approve the consent agenda with the library bond ordinance as a separate item.
Second. Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, 4-0, and then we'll move the library bond ordinance to the next council meeting. Okay, next up is the public hearing on the essential public facilities ordinance. And we have a list over there, but if you haven't signed up yet, that's okay. Ferndale, we're a little more casual. We'll go off the list, and then if you still want to speak, we'll look for hands in the audience. So don't worry that you have to run up here and sign up. We'll if you want to speak, we'll get you a chance to speak. So we'll go to our planning director, Yori Burnett, first.
Good evening, Council. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. We have before you tonight an action item, an ordinance that would amend the Essential Public Facilities Chapter of the Ferndale Municipal Code. That's Chapter 18.92. I do have not a presentation so much as a model that I can show you as I go on. But before I really start, I want to just give some background to the council and those in the audience as to what we're considering and how it fits into maybe a larger picture. The discussion of a sheriff office and correctional facility really has four different processes, and those processes are in many ways running parallel to one another. Some of the processes would follow certain other ones, but there's not necessarily a lot of overlap of them. So what are those processes? One of them, this one, is the zoning text amendment. This governs what the city's requirements would be should a correctional facility, which is considered an essential public facility, be proposed in the city of Ferndale. This is only a zoning text amendment. It does not approve or deny an application. It is not site-specific. Parallel to that, we have the environmental process, where a supplemental environmental impact statement is currently being drafted. That is site-specific and looks at the environmental impacts of a sheriff office, correctional facility, and warehouse space if it were to be constructed in the city of Ferndale at a property that we're calling the LeBounty site. That is a process that the county and the city are co-lead agencies, where the county is in charge of determining what size of the facility we're talking about and the impacts of that. And the city is charged with determining what the impacts that facility would have on the city of Ferndale, our infrastructure, and the surrounding area. We're expecting that to be released later on this month, and that'll be available for public comments, and there's even going to be a public meeting coming up. Once both of those two processes are done, Whatcom County, and specifically the Whatcom County Council, is going to need to make a decision as to whether or not they wish to acquire that LeBounty site. My understanding is they have an option to purchase that site, and that option will expire in December of this year. That is essentially the go or no-go on acquiring that piece of property. Then, if they do decide to move forward, would be the application where the county would actually submit to the city of Ferndale a proposal to construct a facility of a certain size at a certain location. There, the city will review it. The city staff will first review it, and then it will be forwarded to the hearing examiner, who's a kind of land use judge, where there will be a public hearing. Staff will forward that recommendation of approval or denial or approval with certain conditions to the hearing examiner, who will then render his decision to approve or deny that application. So each of those processes has a public comment period, the opportunity for the public to participate. This process, again, is looking only at that zoning text amendment. So the city back in 2006 initiated the creation of an essential public facilities chapter, which again is chapter 18.92 of the Ferndale Municipal Code. Essential public facilities are those facilities that are, by definition, essential. They're things like hospitals, things like jails, things like airports, transfer stations, waste stations, things that society needs to function but are not always what people want to live next to. So no one would question the need for something like a hospital, but probably very few people would want to live really close to a hospital. Recognizing this, the Washington State Legislature said that jurisdictions cannot preclude the siting of these essential public facilities. We cannot simply ban them outright, even if that is something that a local jurisdiction wants to do. What we can do is adopt regulations, reasonable regulations, that deal with where they can be sited. Certain zoning, perhaps, certain setbacks, certain design standards, certain other requirements so that the city can ensure that even if it does not, even if there are impacts to the city, that at least we are aware of what those impacts are, and if possible, so that we can mitigate them. So, in 2006, the city went through this process, and Chapter 18.92 lists a number of different types of essential public facilities. It's important to put ourselves in the position of the city at that time in 2006, because the thing that really initiated the conversation was a change in law at the state level that would make it more possible for halfway houses or transitional housing to be sited in local jurisdictions. That's when someone who was formerly incarcerated is then released on a limited basis into the public. So that was the city's focus at that time, because as everyone well knows, cities, while we try to plan, are also often reactive. So there was a lot of focus paid to those transitional facilities and somewhat less focus on other things such as hospitals or jails. Fast forward to late 2012, when the city became aware that the county, after a process of site selection, had identified the Labounty site as not only one of the alternative sites for this jail facility, but really the preferred site. We asked the Planning Commission and the Council to get together earlier this spring to talk about what we already have in code and to ask the question of whether or not the city felt what we already had was sufficient now that this appeared to be a real thing, that there was really going to be a jail coming to the city. So we looked at the existing code. Again, not a bunch of focus was paid to jails back in 2006, but the city did adopt certain regulations requiring that there were very significant setbacks from residential properties, that there be a setback of at least 350 feet for residential properties, and an additional line-of-sight setback of 650 feet from those properties. Aside from some discussion on fencing and some other requirements, the city was more or less silent with regard to the conditions that we would expect to place on these facilities. From my perspective as the planning director, that really concerned me, because when you go in front of the hearing examiner and he is asking for conditions from the city, he's also looking for a nexus between the conditions that the city is placing and the perceived impact. And if we don't have something in the code, it becomes more difficult for the city to say, we want an articulated facade, or we want this screening or landscaping, or we want this, where the hearing examiner might say, well, it's not in your code, I choose not to go in that direction. So in other words, we felt as staff that we needed more teeth in the ordinance to talk about what the different requirements were, so that not only city staff knew what we were reviewing against, the public would know, and the applicant would be able to create a much better document and form of the application. So we had that discussion with Planning Commission and Council, and the directive that we got from Planning Commission and Council was to go forth and amend the ordinance with attention given to setback and height issues, as well as the overall design of the facility. So we did that. The Planning Commission met monthly from that early spring meeting on. One of the directives that the Planning Commission had for us, because we're talking about very large buildings, some of the largest buildings that the city of Ferndale will have seen, with the exception of possibly Ferndale High School. Knowing that those buildings will fundamentally alter the nature of the of that site. It's a vacant site right now. And buildings, whether or not they're a 100,000-square-foot manufacturing facility or if they were a 100,000-square-foot jail, change something from a more rural environment to a more urban environment. So we looked at what this city has done over the past 5 or 6 years. And the Planning Commission said, well, gosh, you know, we have already talked about very large buildings and how to mitigate for them in our retail design standards, where we have a large chapter that's actually gone through two public processes, a chapter that has been emulated by other jurisdictions, and a chapter that we have actually copied from other jurisdictions as well, talking about how to mitigate for large buildings. So as you'll see when you read through the code, we follow a lot of those same measures that we include in 18.58, which is our retail design guidelines. Things like the articulated facades, things like a predominant front entryway, landscaping screening, advanced landscaping and parking lots, Eagle standards, where that will better ensure that such a facility will actually reflect the community and also be more of a quote-unquote green building. Again, for those that aren't aware, Eagle is Ferndale's improved vision of the LEED standards, that the Whatcom County has actually adopted LEED Silver for all their public buildings. So we went through a number of changes there, and if you have questions, I can go through those design changes. I want to focus, because I think this has been the focus all along, on setbacks and heights, because I think that was really the question that started it off, and I think a lot of the concerns that we've heard from nearby property owners. As proposed, the minimum setbacks are actually increased from 50 feet to 150 feet for the front, but the setbacks from residential properties are decreased from 350 feet down to that 150 feet. What we also did with respect to the line of sight is, rather than require a 650 foot separation pretty much automatically, we talked with the county, because my philosophy, and I think Mayor Jensen's philosophy, is talk to see what's possible. Don't just create an ordinance and hope that it lands okay. I mean, and we've done that with a number of our ordinances over the last 5 or 6 years, to try to talk to the applicant to understand better about what they're discussing. What we learned is, in order to mitigate for line of sight, it's actually quite easy, where there would simply be no windows facing residential property. Instead, windows, skylights could be created to create natural light, and there could be windows facing opposite the residential properties. This would mitigate that line of sight issue, where we've actually then put into the code a prohibition of areas available to prisoners being able to look and have view of residential properties. If that is not possible, then the automatic 650-foot requirement is reinstituted in the code. So it gives the applicant the ability to design a facility that would accommodate the goals listed by the city. With respect to the height, right now the existing chapter for correctional facilities lists a 35-foot height limit. There was talk about reducing it down to 25, also talk about moving it up to 45 feet. But ultimately, the Planning Commission did not feel that there was a need to modify the height requirement. A 25-foot height requirement would be the lowest of any zone in the city of Ferndale. Right now, the manufacturing zone allows a 45-foot height So a manufacturing facility could go in at 45 feet there. But that 45 feet there did not, the county was not able to demonstrate that 45 feet was needed. So we felt that since there was not demonstration of need, there was no reason to change something. So we went to 35 foot, or we maintained the 35 foot height limit. A couple of other things, and then I'd be happy to turn it over to questions. One of the things that staff and the hearing examiner look at is a purpose statement. What was the city's intent in creating a code section? And so we have amended the purpose statement, and I'm actually going to read it for you.
What page do you want?
We're going to be on page 106. Essential public facilities typically create real or perceived negative impacts on social, environmental, and or economic features of their host jurisdiction, including unique impacts to the public infrastructure. These impacts may be difficult or impossible to mitigate completely. As such, communities are likely to resist the placement of essential public facilities within their jurisdictions, and as a consequence, Washington State has found it necessary to adopt laws which prohibit any community from excluding such facilities outright, and we cite to the RCW. The City of Ferndale, therefore, has a vital interest in ensuring that these facilities are innovative and built with the community in mind, that they are sited in appropriate locations and subject to reasonable conditions for design, intensity of use, noise, infrastructure capacity, neighborhood context, and operation. Such facilities shall also meet the city's high standards for environmental design and shall avoid or mitigate adverse fiscal impacts to the city. The fiscal impacts, we have included a requirement for a fiscal impact assessment of all essential public facilities, wherein they would be required to identify for the city through a professional third party what those impacts are likely to be on the city from a fiscal standpoint. What change would it have, if any, to the tax rolls? What change, if any, would it have for anticipated sales taxes? So on and so forth. So, last thing I'll mention is this is a chapter that deals with essential public facilities of all shapes and sizes. With the exception of what I have just discussed, we did not change secure community transition facilities, hospitals, mental health facilities. We focused on correctional facilities. Very last thing that I'll say is when we were going through the Planning Commission process, there is just an inherent desire to say, what is this going to look like? If we only knew precisely what this is going to look like, we can understand better whether or not we are for or against it, or to identify mitigation measures, so on and so forth. In a zoning text amendment, we rarely get the benefit of even talking to a potential applicant, let alone knowing precisely what they might be proposing. But there's still that desire to know what it is we're talking about, to see visuals of what it is, and I do have some visuals. But what we are requiring as part of the application is something that we don't really require of many other uses, with the possible exception of Walmart or Costco or something of that nature. That is three-dimensional renderings of the facility on the property, so that not only city staff but the public can get a good idea of what's going on and can then comment on it. We don't like the landscaping on the northeast quadrant. We think that the parking lot in the southwestern side is going to create glare from the window shields onto my property. That's the sort of stuff that the city is looking for as an application, so that when we do get an application in, we can comment on that specific application. So we're trying to put the city in a position of being able to react, the city and the public in a position of better being able to react to an application, because we have not had an application yet. And so what we have for you is what we feel is an extremely good ordinance that will take us from here to that application stage.
Okay, Council, this is a public hearing, so technical questions, not opinion questions. So I'm going to go Councilperson Olson, Goodrich, and your hand was up? Okay. And Councilperson Watson, I saw you up and down. Councilperson Olson?
Dory, how many, questions, comments did we get at the public hearing, and if so, how many were they for or against, or how many people spoke?
We included the folks that spoke at the public hearing. I'm trying to find it. We had about a half dozen, maybe a little bit.
It's in here somewhere.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit less than a half dozen who spoke at the public hearing. The folks that spoke, with the exception of members of Whatcom County, were opposed to it. We had 1, 2, 3 people beyond county staff speak.
So three.
Three.
And can we have the ones that you submitted tonight? Were any of those duplicates of...
No, actually, we had three written comments submitted. One of them's in your packet. Two of them I've forwarded to you, and you have in your hand. One of them was forwarded on by a gentleman that spoke, Mr. French, but he was not the one that made the comment that he forwarded.
But at the meeting itself, there was three of the Planning Commission.
There were three, and if I may, one of those three. We did not have a lot of attendance at the public workshops. We did publicly notify all the folks in the area of these various public workshops. But one of the gentlemen that spoke said that he felt that the reason why there had not been a lot of attendance at the workshops and not a lot of public comment was because they felt that the city staff and the city council had already made up their minds to acquiesce to the county's requests. We absolutely disagree with that perspective, but that was the comment that was made.
Acquiesce how? We can't forbid these things, so I'm not sure what that means. Do you know what that means?
My guess, and it is only a guess, is it had to do with setbacks. Is there was the expectation that the 350-foot setback that's currently in code was adopted for a good reason, and that there had not been better reasons to change it.
But would that be, that would be for the jail, correct?
Correct, as opposed to the sheriff headquarters, which are not essential public facilities but are permitted use in the zone.
And that is not subject to 350 feet, which is in front of, on the bounty, correct?
Correct, and one of the things that the code does is state that facilities that are not considered essential public facilities should be placed forward or between residential properties and the essential public facility to act as a sort of buffer or a screen.
Okay, so that leads into my next question. If I know we don't have a plan, but if you have what the normal setback is for what the sheriff's office or any other business would be, and then the jail is behind that, how many feet are we estimating that would be, or do we even know yet?
It's really impossible to know. There are so many different configurations.
Okay.
I can show you what I believe to be a version of the preferred alternative, because the county and their jail planners are looking at different possible design scenarios, and I'd be happy to show you conceptually what a version of that plan could look like.
I think that would help a lot of people out with the setback issue.
Okay.
Council consensus?
Well, my question just kind of goes along with this topic, so I could ask it.
While he's setting up? Sure, go ahead.
In here it states, you know, the original setback was 50 on the frontage road, which, a.k.a. LeBounty, for a manufacturing place. So what this ordinance is talking about is just the jail building. Is that what I'm hearing? None of the other supporting buildings, whether it be offices or anything like that. So if somebody just wanted to come and build a jail, they'd have to be 150 feet off of LeBounty or 150 feet off of anything setback.
They would have to, for their front yard setback, they would have to be 150 feet back if they were just doing a jail. Remember that we're not, for the purpose of the zoning text amendment, there are other sites that could be looked at. But, yes, 150-foot front setback for a jail.
But if I was going to build the same building but do it as a manufacturing business and build widgets, I could build that 50 feet off the street.
You could build it 25 feet off the street. Yes. Okay. And you could go up to 45 feet.
So what is the thinking behind the setback? You know, if they meet the do Eagle design standards, so you look at it as, you know, any big box building or, you know, type of thing, or it's like Acres is building, you know, fast thing. I don't see what... Help me understand the difference between why we're doing one at 150 feet and one at 25 feet when the box...
Why not go less than 150 for the jail?
Yeah. We said that with big boxes, we can't control what goes in the box. We can just control the box. And why is a jail different when we're talking about the box?
The feeling was that the bottom line is that there are people who have done very bad things that are incarcerated here, and that there is that it is appropriate to have somewhat larger setbacks for a facility such as that than we would for most or any other land uses, just because there is that neighbors are certainly entitled to feeling not only physically safe, and there's really no question that they would be physically safe with a jail nearby, but that they would not feel that there are eyes on them. And I think that was something that we heard over and over, that we don't want to feel that there are people who have done very bad things that know me or that are looking at me. And so a 150-foot setback helps that, but it doesn't go all the way. That's why we wanted to have the disability for anybody to actually view, plus to have screening and other things such as that, so that there really is not a view, so that we're actually taking the fear out into the open and mitigating for it. 150-foot setback was what we felt was appropriate. Certainly council could consider changing that.
Now, it should be noted that the Planning Commission struggled mightily with that same issue, but they were the other way at start with. Is, I mean, there's no question that our ordinance now says 300. So, and I'm certainly, you'll hear from people in the audience that thought 300 was adequate, and now we're proposing 150. So you're kind of going a different direction, but the point is that our Planning Commission listen to people talking, listen to the testimony, read the letters, and said, you know, we need some sort of reaction to this to try to satisfy our citizens. We certainly, contrary to maybe what one of the blogs said, we're not ignoring the issue and rolling over and playing dead on this. We're looking at saying, what can we do allowable under the laws and regulations concerning public facilities districts. So you're going a different direction.
Well, I was also trying to figure out from, you know, why behind the 150 feet. You know, when we were talking about big boxes, we were just talking about, well, we can, you know, control the outside of the box, but we can't control what goes in the box as far as Walmart versus Costco versus whatever. And I was just wondering why that logic didn't apply to the jail when it's basically a big box.
I think you would, as we go to public testimony, yeah, you'll hear people say that they completely think a jail is a completely different facility on its own. Before we go any more with, is your question related to this, and I'll go to Councilperson Zimmerman, or?
I have several questions.
So. Shall he finish his presentation, or?
Sure, go ahead.
Just finish your question, that's what we want to do here.
I'll just quickly take you through this, and then open up for your questions. So there's no real good way of doing this. Hopefully folks can see it okay. So what we have here is a rendering of what I think was called the stepping stone design, where, to give you some context, I don't have a pointer. To give you some context, we have La Bounty going north-south here. North is over towards your right. South is towards your left. We have the sheriff offices here, here, and here. And behind that, I'm sorry, we have the sheriff offices here and here. And here we have some administrative support for the jail facility. We would consider this yellowish building an essential public facility because it is supporting the jail. more so than it is supporting the sheriff offices. And then we have the actual jail itself. We also have this warehouse here, which would be used for large evidence storage, things such as that.
So are the houses just on Labounty, or are there houses on the north side as well?
There are no, well, there is a house just to the north here. When we're talking about this site specifically, and we need to remember there is the potential for other sites, but common sense would say we're probably not going to have two jails, so it is probably this site we're talking about. In the northeastern part of the site, right here, there is an archaeological reserve where it predates Native American artifacts. There were some old artifacts found on this site. This site right here was less disturbed than all of the others. So there, as you'll recall, this site has been used for industrial purposes for many years. It is not a virgin site, even though it is vacant. Anyhow, to answer your question, there is an archaeological reserve here. There's then a ravine, and there's a stand of trees. It is likely that should any future residential development be proposed on the property that currently has a home, that there would be fairly substantial wetland mitigation that would need to be done, and that the tree line would be preserved because it would otherwise be encroaching on a wetland without a clear purpose.
Do we have an estimation, though, there's a significant housing development of, what, over 100 homes? Are you going to go broad enough to show to the north?
I'm going to see if I can.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a few. I mean, because I've driven it, but I just... Yeah,
there's your big picture.
So this is Labounty Estates, which was created about 7 years ago. Has between 50 and 100 homes right now. That is... a few hundred feet distance away, maybe a little bit more than a few hundred. We also, over here on Sunset, have Sunset Park, which was also established a little bit later than that, but it is about a dozen or so single-family units. And then,
and Yuri, for reference, the treed area that we see, this kind of the swath of tree that would be between jail site and the Labounty Estates.
Right here.
What is the zoning for that?
The zoning for that is residential office, where it allows either office building or multifamily residential.
Great. Thank you.
Height? The height is up to 70 feet, 70.
And across the street, east of Labounty, that's...
That's also residential office, also same mix of uses.
So would be right across the street from the jail?
Anything from the existing single-family residences, if they were to stay or for however long they wish to stay, to multifamily, to commercial office space, to a mix of commercial and residential. We're not talking retail. We're talking office space.
Okay.
So moving back in.
And when you count 150 feet, where do you start the count? Is it on the
property? Property line.
Our right-of-way, their property line.
From the property line, the closest property line adjacent to the right-of-way. So, in other words, right about where these trees are would be where the property line is, and then back. So that actually
increases. It's really more than that because you've got a 50-foot road of right-of-way or about, or maybe even 60.
Correct.
So from the curb, it's
150, it's really
200 from residential property.
Yes.
That is correct.
Well, one of my questions was with the setback. Do you mean setback to where the building begins or to where the fence begins? Or can they put their fence right on their property line, or does it have to be setback?
To where the foundation of their building begins.
Okay.
A fence could be closer. And in fact, when you look at when you play around with different fence heights, if you have a fence, say a six-foot fence right next to you, you're going to have a view angle that is much more difficult to see over than if you had a six-foot fence 50 feet away from you.
Okay.
I can't look over. Actually, 6 feet's more like this for me. So I can't look over a six-foot fence. But if it was quite a ways away, then I could.
Yuri, from that housing development, just to add just a quick measurement, approximately 680 feet on that estates.
Okay. Thank you, Sam. One of the things that this design attempts to do, again, if we're looking at the yellow and the kind of gray and the red as being the actual essential public facility, is it does hide much of it, not all of it, much of it from neighboring properties. And depending on where the whole facility is located on the site, that effect either increases or decreases. But I do want to remind you that these are pretty pictures, and it may show you something that makes you feel a lot more comfortable or show you something that makes you feel a lot less comfortable. If there's a proposal, it's going to be looking a little bit different from this. We don't yet know what it is, and that is, again, why we are proposing these zoning text amendments, so that we can control it much more. We know that with these zoning text amendments, we're not going to get the prototypical jail fortress facility. We don't know precisely what it will look like, but we feel that this puts us in a better position.
Okay. Based on this, or do you want to move on with questions? Councilperson Watson, you had several. Any related to this, or should you shut this down for now, Council?
No, I might have a question.
Okay, so let's go to Councilperson Zimmerman, because he has a question on this picture, and then we'll go back to you. Councilperson Zimmerman?
Peter, great. Can you flip this up a little bit, or can you go use three-dimensional? What I'm interested in is showing the attachment of the railroad spur, right here, because here's where is it? We're in here. We've got a large movable picture. Recomp. Is this Recomp's building supposed to be?
Yes,
that's a scrap it.
Or that's scrap it. I'm sorry, yeah.
Scrap it. So right along here is actually a railroad spur. In the big picture of things, since I was one of the pioneers of an industry of brewing for Whatcom County, that's now doing very well, the idea is if you're going to have certain types of industry, heavy industry that has welding, fabrication, all this stuff, to be serviced by a railroad spur is fantastic. That's a big draw.
For sure.
What other lots of industrial land inside our city limits is serviced such as that with a railroad spur for heavy industry?
Gosh, you know, I don't have a number.
You have one.
Well, this one's...
I don't know.
It's neighboring property that's serviced by.
Yeah, it abuts.
Oh, right. Okay.
I really don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
You're asking for all the industrial property that would have potential for rail siding?
Only within the city?
Just
within the city limits.
That is serviced by or
okay.
abut.
That'd be a question you'd have to research.
Yeah. It's just one of those ideas, because if we do this, we can't do that. That's one question.
So that's an answer you're not prepared to answer.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
One more.
Okay. Go ahead.
Also, I kind of wanted to correct you on some conjecture here, that you said that this was the preferred location, which might be correct. But when I went to the meeting, the first meeting we had out at the week here, in fact, the chief is
Sheriff Bill
Elfels here. He was backing up on this. I asked him. There was 11 different properties that were in the original core. Only one of them was actually considered. Do you remember what that reason was? What?
I don't know.
It was sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Every other site was not serviced by sewer. So to correct you, because words are important, it's not the preferred location. It was the only location.
And within the context of where I was talking, when we first became aware that this was even a possibility, they had not reached that point of this being the only location. Soon after that, so this was about this time last year, soon after that, we found that this was the location.
Correct.
Okay, so you're done with your presentation?
I'm done with my presentation.
Okay, you want to shut it down so we can...
I still have questions.
Well, is this related to this, or should you shut this down?
I don't need a picture.
Okay, so he probably can multitask. You can ask a question while he's doing whatever he's doing.
Okay. I have three questions. And what is the maximum fence height? Will it be different from the city is 6 feet, but because this is a facility where you're trying to keep people in and not let them go out?
The maximum fence height is actually that is the exempted from a building permit requirement. You can go up higher than 6 feet, but what we typically do is within the front yard setback, and for vision purposes, we make sure that it's lower so it doesn't have implications there. Theoretically, though, once you get into the heart of your site, you could engineer a fence that was up to the height limit.
Which is what?
35 feet.
So there could be a 35-foot fence that was far enough back.
In theory.
Legally, they could.
And again, my understanding might not be complete, but when we're talking about fences for screening, mm-hmm. that's one thing. But when we're talking about fences for security, there have been sufficient technological advances that we don't need the castle walls, so to speak, any longer.
I guess I'm just trying to wonder if there's going to be, you know, a 35-foot fence with concertina wire on top of it.
There will absolutely not be concertina wire.
Okay.
That is specified in here that it will not be visible from the public right-of-way, and it will only be used for things like securing the Sally Port entrance, where they bring in prisoners, where there is a period of time when they are walking from the transport van.
So that was in the, I guess I missed it in the ordinance then. Okay.
Yeah.
You can.
I remember reading that.
Did you read? Okay.
Yeah.
That's right, Brent saw it. A question about we're talking about the sheriff's office being under separate rules, different setbacks. Are they going to have to put forth, if someone wanted to build two separate buildings, one which was an essential public facility and one that wasn't but on the same piece of land, are they going to put forth two permits to you? One will be conditional and one won't? Or because are these two separate facilities, basically, that you're looking at?
What I would assume, and I don't see any reason why it would not happen this way, is they would submit a site plan showing their facility, the whole thing.
Everything, sheriff's office.
Everything.
Okay.
Staff would review that entire thing because there are things that relate to one another, such as the landscaping for the entire site.
Mm-hmm.
So we would forward the whole thing to the hearing examiner. He would be able to see through the code, and we would specify that, you know, the siting of the office is not subject to the conditional use review, but what he would ultimately be approving is the use as shown on the site plan. So that there would not be the ability of the applicant or the city to dramatically change that site plan after the public has had the opportunity to comment on it and the hearing examiner has determined. Because he is saying, again, it's a conditional use. This use in this format with these conditions can be approved. It's not simply saying, yes, you can have a correctional facility, do with it what you want. It's very much based on a specific application.
Okay. And I had one more question. On page 109, B, the siting criteria, I'm trying to understand what this means. A correctional facility shall be located in relationship to transportation facilities. And I'm trying to, in a manner appropriate to its transportation needs, what are we trying to accomplish? Are you saying you want a bus stop? Or
no, that's something that's in the existing code. What it was really, the intent there was not to place one of these facilities basically right in the middle of Ferndale where they need to travel, that they have a difficult time getting to the freeway,
mm-hmm.
So that the impacts, traffic impacts and so on and so forth, are less if they only have a quarter mile or a half mile to get to the freeway. Possibly as compared to right here at this location that we're at right now.
Okay.
That's it for questions. So, Council, any more technical questions of staff before we go to the public hearing portion? Okay, seeing none. Okay, a public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the Council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the City Clerk prior to beginning the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who signed up prior to the beginning of the meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you're unable to sign up before the meeting, you'll be given an opportunity to address the council once we have got through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheet. Each speaker should state his or her name, address for the record, and will be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue,
we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire city council. I hope the public has noticed that we're polite in Ferndale, we're nice to each other, and we speak in an adult manner. So, the first on my list is Robert Hakeem. I'll open the public hearing at 6:54:57. Welcome, sir.
My name is Robert Hakeem. I live at 2308 Douglas Road, apartment 305. Jory, you were very clear. I had my first question was about the ordinance and why would you change something if you don't know the specs right now. But now I understand now. So you have a broad stroke, and then when it comes in, you can. Would you amend the ordinance again to fit that? Or
no, we would not. Where we have the, we would have the adopted ordinance, and then the applicant would look at that ordinance and design their application based on that ordinance. The city would not then be able to go back and say, actually, we wanted only a 75-foot setback, for instance.
So you're able to work with them. When you amend it tonight, you'll be able to work with them and what they want, so they know what to expect from you as well.
That would certainly be our hope,
okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, that's good. You put that. And you brought up something else, archaeological site. Is that going to be included on your four things that you're going to want to have happen before the deal gets going? You mentioned something about archaeological site. Is there a report on that?
Yes, that is going to be contained in, yes, as part of those four things in the environmental review, where that was a substantial part of it, what actually is under the ground right now.
Okay.
So that's going to be in there, and the public's going to have their chance to comment on that if they feel it's incorrect or needs to be outlined in more detail.
Okay. And then one more thing. I just feel that I read all the text that the City Hall provided on this, on the jail issue. And it just seems there should be more alternatives. I don't see any, well, why don't we try this or try that? I know change is a funny word, but, you know, alternatives is maybe a better one. And I just feel there should be more of that looked into. You know, of course, we need to be safe, all that. But anyway, just some alternatives. Maybe that would be a good suggestion. And if you want some help, you got my email.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Council Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, next up is, hopefully I pronounced this right, Yoshi Ravel?
Yes.
Thank you. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. My name is Yoshi Ravel, 4026 Willowbrook Lane, 98229. Thank you, members of the audience, members of council, and Mr. Mayor, for some of your attention. The primary purpose of a justice system is rehabilitation. That is, when a crime occurs, we wish to rehabilitate both the victim of the crime as well as the perpetrator. And in order to do that, we have to look at both victim and perpetrator as equals. That is, both have equally been hurt somehow, and both need to be equally addressed and brought back to as whole as possible. I read a story of a village in Africa where when a crime occurred, the entire village stopped working. No work was done. And everybody met in the center of the village, and both the victim and the perpetrator of the crime were brought to the center of the village. And the village worked together as a community to help both the victim and the perpetrator to be made as whole as possible so that both could come back into the community as whole as possible. And I hope that we keep this in mind as we move forward on this project. I thank you all for your attention, and I wish you all a pleasant evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next up, Mr. Robert French.
Robert French, 5044 Laboni, Ferndale. Certainly want to thank members of the staff for taking time to hear this. I'm not under the age of 15 years old, Mr. Mayor, but it's outstanding that you've made a plug for the Cancer Society applied to young children. My wife was recently diagnosed with cancer. She'll be undergoing radiation and chemo for 6 months. This is a stressful time for us. There have been comments made over about an hour or so. To counter that, I've got 3 minutes. I'll try to make it within that time. there isn't a movement by some in the city of Ferndale to have us believe that a jail is no more of a problem in a neighborhood, no more of a danger than an apartment house or a warehouse, and should be subject to the same rules. But that really doesn't ring true. Jails have been known to house very dangerous people. Not everyone in there is dangerous. The idea is, like the gentleman said, rehabilitation. Sometimes that doesn't happen. There are reasons why there are bars in the windows and big locks on the doors. The officers inside carry firearms. They're loaded firearms. Tomorrow, I will pick up my 13-year-old granddaughter from her place on LeBounty Road. She deserves every protection we can give her, and that includes placing the jail access points, parking lots, and the jail itself as far back away from her as possible. Please don't reduce this separation by placing the jail closer to our neighborhood. A jail is known to have significant adverse impacts on the nature and value of a neighborhood. There has been late organized opposition to this jail from our neighborhood. However, there's a great deal of frustration and ill will being unnecessarily created over some of the issues that are not addressed or are being changed to accommodate this facility. It's been said over and over, we can't block this facility, but we can set rules to protect the people in the neighborhood. The city is rightfully concerned about the loss of tax revenue by locating the jail on potentially revenue-producing land. Surrounding property owners are concerned by the same impacts of their property compounded by the reduction of setbacks. The issue that is most often heard is the needless reduction of these setbacks. I mean, that's in the neighborhood. Why are we doing this? The Planning Commission, only four members attending, was divided on this issue. Mayor Jensen touched on this. Was divided, with the chair stating she could see no compelling reason to make changes in the existing code. That is the position of this neighborhood. There is room on this property to easily retain the setbacks as described in the present code. We can see no reason to make a change. It's my understanding that Sheriff Elfo said that he can accept the present setbacks and building heights. That really wasn't a problem to him. Other issues that are not on the table are release of prisoners into the neighborhood, emergency response on the narrow LeBounty Drive. If these road improvements are necessary, who will pay? That's a countywide problem. It should not fall on the shoulders of the neighborhood to finance. And there is another jail on Sunset within 1 mile of the proposed new location. Later modules added to this jail site may not be outside the line of sight. We are deeply concerned with the setbacks being modified here. There's no demonstrated need for reduced setbacks that we can see. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll go to hands up in the audience. So if you want to do hands up, we'll try to get you all in as much order. First back there, so I'll go back there in the green shirt, and then I'll go down this way. Okay. I'll get to you, so have patience. We'll get to everyone who wishes to speak. Welcome, sir.
Good evening. Terry Leishman, 5169 The Bounty. Yes, Bob brought up something to jog my memory. Planning Commission meeting. You know, the Planning Commission actually gave us an attendance lecture about lack of public attendance at meetings. Their attendance was no better. The economic impact study, has that been completed? What's the status of that?
Yes, sir, it has, and it's going to be released as part of the supplemental environmental impact statement.
Isn't that something you want to see before you decide on changing these?
I have seen it. I suppose I can talk about it.
As long as you're not burning up my 3 minutes, sir.
The fiscal impact study concluded that there would be a net positive benefit to the city of this, and that changes in property values, they looked at anecdotal evidence from jurisdictions throughout the United States, that there was no determination that a jail going into a community increases or decreases property values. So in general, it concluded that there would be a net fiscal positive impact to the city.
How did they figure that out?
They looked at literature reviews from around the United States. They did various calculations. They've done these studies before for King County. We felt that we hired the best ones to do it who've had a lot of experience. And so the documentation that they provided, and you'll be able to see in the SEIS, really answered a lot of questions.
Allow yourself to defend yourself of why it's not included tonight, and I'm sure there was a logical reason for that.
Absolutely.
We'd like to hear now.
Absolutely. We're talking about a zoning text amendment where we are merely saying that a fiscal impact study has to be completed, not whether or not a specific proposal is a good or bad idea. So that's going to follow as part of the development review and as part of the SEIS. So it just so happens that we do have some of the data. That's the reason why I didn't want to talk about it, because it's a separate issue.
And the city administrator wanted to comment?
Yeah, I was going to clarify a little bit. We asked the physical impact consultant to look at two basic issues. One is, for the city, does a jail mean we get less revenue than what could have been there, the same revenue or more revenue? So one part was city-focused. The other one was community focus. Do property values go up or go down when you build a jail? This is zone manufacturing. So the only, turning to the city side, the only revenue the city gets from manufacturing is property tax. We don't get sales tax. At that point, comes off of retail. No B&O tax, and we don't have a B&O tax. So clearly the what a jail does, the jail buys a lot of stuff for the jail, for the inmates. So they generate a significant, as compared to a manufacturing facility, a significant amount of sales tax ongoing. And then up front, you've got the sales taxes generated from the actual construction of the jail itself. Conceivably, a jail costs a lot more to build than a corresponding manufacturing plant on the same lot. So we would receive more sales tax from the construction of a jail and more sales tax from the operation of a jail than we would from manufacturing. But that's just the city side. On the homeowner side, and Mr. Burnett alluded to it, the hard thing is if you look to see where a jail was built, you can't compare what the property values would have been if the jail wasn't built there. So there are some studies done as far as around the area, thinking that if there is a negative effect of jails, it would be closer to the jail physically than a home that's located further away from the jail, because you obviously can't examine what would have been because it wasn't. And there is no evidence that our consultant was able to find that categorically could say the closer you get to a jail, the lower the property values, or the less your property would have gone up in value, because many times these jails are located in industrial and manufacturing locations. Right now, for an example, we have an asphalt plant in that area.
Mm-hmm.
It could be argued that the asphalt plant might have a more deterrent impact on property values than a jail. It may or it may not. But there's no definitive study out there that shows the closer you get, the lower the property values, because, again, where they're located. Last thing is that they looked at jail facilities in Western Washington, given the new way that jails are built, as they're absent. It's not a stalag where you've got the wires and guard towers. And they found that there's even a less of a correlation between any property value decrease and the modern jail facilities. So those are the two things that we asked the consultant to do. What's in it for the city, and then what's in it for the local residents? And in both cases, they came back and they could not identify something that is unique to a jail that would depress either the revenues to the city or depress the property values over which they might have been depressed or increased absent the jail.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that helps or not. But
we'll go back. We'll start your time. You have 2 minutes, 10 seconds. Okay. We shut it off for you.
Did it happen to look at perception as it pertains to sales? Say, I list my house, and I don't want to buy your house.
I don't know how they would study that.
Okay.
because if someone doesn't buy a house, they don't buy it. So there's no data out there that they could look to and say, if not for this, I would have done that. You're trying to, I guess, you're trying to model behavior that didn't occur.
Yeah, so
right.
I understand where you're coming from. But it also goes both ways.
We've done that, well, I'm going to put you back on your clock.
Okay, fine. Is there any proposal to do anything about the road?
As part of the SEIS, there's going to be mitigation measures identified. Obviously, it's going to require frontage improvements along the whole length of that frontage. We are also looking at other mitigation measures for where there might be traffic impacts at intersections like that. There would also be traffic impact fees paid to the city as far as the city's overall six-year capital facility plan or ongoing capital facility plan. I don't know whether or not Janice can talk to that. But, again, this doesn't pertain to the zoning text amendment. Mm-hmm. This pertains to the supplemental environmental impact statement and the development review.
Three-quarter street? Probably a three-quarter.
Yeah, we use a lot of terms. When we talk about street frontage improvements, that means a lot to us. It might not mean a lot to everyone in the room. Street frontage improvements means literally the street in front of your lot.
Right.
You have to improve, and it'll probably be what's considered a three-quarter street, which means a sidewalk on one side, probably the jail side, and then, of course, then the road itself, as opposed to a full street improvement, which would add the sidewalk on
one side. Okay, we're talking. He has only 40 seconds left.
Still think it ought to be shoved back into the wetlands. You should do some mitigation. What about your water system? Can it handle the increased load?
Yes.
Okay. I've heard rumors of people's wells up on Douglas Road starting, their levels starting to drop after you'd punched your wells in. Question quick for Sheriff Hoffa. Last time we spoke,
You better hold on that. We're not going to answer some questions from the audience.
Okay.
You can ask it, and we'll bring them up here later. After we go to the place. So ask the question you can think about.
Last time I spoke with him, I recommended he put together some economic data on how much the jail purchases and so forth. And I was wondering if he actually put something together.
Okay.
That's
it. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, out of three speakers, only one has discussed what we're here for tonight. So I would ask if you would kindly, maybe there's some confusion as to what we can talk about. We're not here to the merits of villages in Africa and punishment and all that. We're here to talk about essential public facilities revisions ordinance. And if the comments can be limited to that.
And our clerk would like to add to that.
I wanted to add a comment just in terms of being able to protect the public's opportunity to comment. I would hate for you to lose a good opportunity to speak specifically about this amendment. You have 3 minutes because we have so many people here, and we really want to hear from you, and the council does too. We hope that you'll focus on the amendment itself because this is your best opportunity to affect the council's decision. And so I just want to add that just because it's not a lot of time, and I would hate for people to squander that opportunity.
If people could focus on what do you think about, you know, do you want more setbacks? Do you want a different height? Is there something about the parking lot, the landscaping? Specifically, just is there something in this ordinance you want changed? Because tonight we're not going to discuss whether or not there's going to be a jail built there.
Very good point. Ferndale isn't building a jail. That's Whatcom County. That will be the Whatcom County Council. They will discuss that. Mm-hmm. If you have that issue, that will be at a Whatcom County Council meeting. Okay, next up, I had a hand back there in the white shirt. You're next, and then two behind you after that. Welcome, sir.
Good evening, Council. My name is Richard Mandel. I actually live in the city of Bellingham, 2127 West Birch Street. I've been involved with this jail issue since 2003. I actually served for about 7.5 years on the Whatcom County Law and Justice Council. But I also come from a perspective as being a neighborhood leader within the city of Bellingham. I was the chair for a number of years of the Association of Bellingham Neighborhoods. So you can imagine all the stuff that I heard from residents about the impact of a building going in, even fire stations, as well as schools and so forth. A couple things I think that will help you, I hope, is that every time we're going to build something, there is an apprehension about what the impact will be. And you heard part of that already tonight. But I encourage you also, and everybody, to take the time, first of all, and look at what it is really our law and justice system within Whatcom County actually does. There's been a lot of comments about alternative programs. What is a corrections facility? What does it actually have? I also encourage you to look at some of these corrections facilities, sheriff's offices, and ask yourself, what kind of designs do they have? You're talking about the kind of designs you want here. What kind of setbacks do you have? Many communities across this country and around this world have been involved in the process and have come up with some very unique designs to fit in with their neighborhood. And also the neighborhood has benefited from having that facility within their neighborhood. An example of that would be a fire station. It's a place you can meet. Many communities have fire stations or community rooms. They meet. A hospital, so forth. I also encourage you to take some time to really understand, again, the opportunities you have with the facility, such as the sheriff's office. You have a good neighbor moving in. You have good people. And I want to finish up with the fact is that many of those people that work in that facility as of today are facing some pretty hard conditions. And I encourage you, if you haven't gone through the jail or the sheriff's office for that matter and looked at it seriously, recognize that men and women every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, are in those facilities working for us and protecting our safety, as well as out on the roads of Bellingham and Whatcom County and the great city of Ferndale. And thank you for your time, and hope you have a good evening.
Thank you. Okay, behind them there. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Irene Morgan, 1258 East Pole Road. I, too, have been working with, I'm founder of the Reentry Coalition. We work with prisoners returning to society. I know you don't want to hear about alternatives, but the sheriff said at one point that they had exhausted all the alternatives. We haven't even started with restorative justice, and the man here spoke very eloquently about it. And as far as not having any studies about jails in towns and in proximities to residential areas, there's lots of studies out there, and I suggest you look at Prison Town USA, Susanville, California. It's there's a very good video regarding that. I think it does affect the community. There's people who live very close by that I think would be affected by the glaring lights that will no doubt be there. I'm very pleased to hear that the very oversized jail has now been reduced to 521 beds. I think that's adequate, maybe even too much, because when we start the alternative process, when we have the restorative justice, when we have mental health court, when we reinstate our drug court to the degree that it needs to be, our jail won't need to be that big. Thank you for all you do here. I hope that you make the decision that is best for our county, for our prisoners who are there. 80% of them are nonviolent, so let's see how we can actually help them be reintegrated back into our society instead of just keeping them behind bars. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, next up.
One more.
And up there and then on that side. Okay, we'll go this, on this side. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Joy Gilfillan. My address is 1225 East Sunset Drive in Bellingham, Washington. I had a business in Ferndale for a bit. I anticipate more business coming into Whatcom County as a result of tourism trade. We have over 8 million people in the region, and I heard at the last council meeting that the planners who were doing the EIS report, fiscal impact study EIS report, actually were disparaging of the idea that there is any impact on tourism trade as a result of the jail. I also am very aware that in Whatcom County we've spent over $1 million, or pretty close to $1 million, I don't know all the figures, on planning for a jail, and all of the planners who have been selected and used are people who have a history of planning jails and basically working for the jail industry. That deeply concerns me when every single person that we lose in the jail industry or through the jail industry and lose into the jail system is going to cost us $25,000 to $45,000, even $50,000 a year when rehab costs $1,000 to $5,000.
Mr. Mayor, point of order.
So
this is
I'm getting to the point.
On this.
I am getting to the point.
Okay, get to the point.
Okay, the very point is what you're intending to build out here is a short, flat jail that has a bunch of lights. Those lights do directly impact your community, and your fiscal impact, I think, needs to be studied, and it is erroneous for anybody to continue to proceed with all this stuff if it's not included in an EIS report and you do not have adequate representation from alternatives. The EIS report asks for a second alternative. I think if we're reducing the size to 520 beds, we need to reconsider a second site. And I think that your fiscal impacts and all the things that you guys are considering regarding this, I think you really need to deeply consider it. That's it.
Mr. Mayor?
Thank you.
Just real quick, two people have mentioned lighting, and lighting is discussed in here. And I'm wondering, can we just take 30 seconds to let Yori discuss? Because he's put lighting conditions in here because that is an issue.
Request by council, can you do it quickly?
Yeah, we have a full page, almost a page and a half, dealing just with lighting, preventing spillovers, requiring LED lighting.
And the number is?
Is page 111 and 112. So that was an issue that we looked at, minimizing the height of towers within 350 feet of residentially zoned property. So it's all in our draft code.
Yeah, it's a whole page just on lights. Okay.
But more than a page. It's quite detailed. Yeah. What kind of lights you have to have, how they shine,
now,
so to eliminate the glare.
There is something that council may wish to consider, and that is to have, to add in here, to have an applicant perform a lighting study that actually, we do this with Into Light, who does the street lighting, determine where exactly there are lighted areas and where there are not, to be able to more precisely determine spillover.
Could be an amendment.
Could be an amendment.
Okay, Council, under consideration, we'll move forward. Next up, this side. Welcome.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak. My name is Ellen Baker. I live in the East County in Glacier, Washington. But I've been living in Ferndale temporarily, and it's wonderful to have an opportunity to address this subject because I've followed it for years as a county resident. I think that Ferndale's willingness to consider the county jail's location here is perceived as a fabulous service to the citizens overall. The central location of Ferndale is unique in the county. For years, it's been very difficult for families, staff, and attorneys in Whatcom County to come and go to the crowded facility. And the perception that Ferndale is willing to become a long-term county jail site, a location, it has made a very positive impact, I think, for the city's reputation. I believe that it's quite likely that there will be economic benefits. I've been a resident for 40 years, and I think that the staff that will be living here, the support personnel, all the rest of it will improve. I would presume it would improve the economic base in general, and that Ferndale is a law-abiding, secure community will actually improve that reputation. So I actually, as a county resident, I support and thank Ferndale for considering this this proposal.
Thank you.
Questions?
Sir?
Sure.
Are you currently employed at the county or have a spouse or relative?
I'm an elected official in Glacier. Our house burned in July, and so we're renting and living in Ferndale for about 6 months. So I will be attending City Council meetings. I think it's
we're gonna try to keep her.
It's a great forum.
On the water board.
I'm actually a water commissioner out there, and I'm regularly involved in water management.
You should just stay. It's a lovely place.
I think so. I like it.
We haven't given up her yet.
No,
thank you.
You like it.
Okay, next, sir.
Yes.
A voice we haven't heard from in a while.
Yes. I am skinking Oregon. I came back to Washington 6 years ago.
Name and address before we skip.
Fred Elwood, P.O. Box 1964, Ferndale. All right. Five and a half years spent I in Oregon's capital, which was, well, Oregon's capital was unique. It had a state penitentiary within a city limits. I walked by the penitentiary every day going to and from work. I was not endangered by being around a penitentiary, even though Oregon State Penitentiary has 2,400 bad guys in it, criminals. So I can say that. It provided jobs, good paying jobs. I did not work in a penitentiary. Now, Pelham County, Oregon, had a scale that was too small. So he built a big, big jail. And a healthy jail has extra beds, so wood goes out to the criminal element. There's space for you if you misbehave. No business of decrypt criminals being turned away because there's no beds. And Togamuck County built a big, big jail and takes in prisoners from other counties. Gets paid for that, and that helps them to pay the jail costs. Now, Cassett County, Oregon, built a new jail in 1980 or so, too small.
30 seconds.
So they have a foreign prison without the Togamuck County.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, next, over here. Welcome, sir.
Hi, my name is Ray Barabow from Bellingham. 4511 Glen Meadows Place, just outside the city limits. Soon in November, I will have been a volunteer in our county jail for 11 years. So I'm not a county employee. I'm just one of you that goes in the jail fairly often. Sheriff Elfo said recently I've spent more time in the jail than he has. Probably true. First came to a planning, Ferndale Planning Commission, I see in my calendar, it was March 13th in this room. That's when the process started. That's when Jarvie gave a wonderful presentation, started the ball rolling. My comment is that the process that has been undertaken to amend the ordinance has been rational, public, and it's well done. Frankly, it doesn't matter whether the setback for the jail building itself is 150 or 200 feet or 223 and a half. What matters is that people have rationally thought about what is appropriate in general for an ordinance that the city can defend. And I think the process has done that. There are other meetings coming up that if the clerk would like to read, where a lot of these other comments that have come up tonight will be appropriate, like when the report is submitted to county council, when the draft environmental impact statement, when the city or when the county submits plans to the planning commission, there'll be hearings for that. All this other stuff that's been talked about tonight, there will be time for those at public meetings. Thank you for your time. Job well done. Good process.
Mr. Mayor, can we have those dates entered into the minutes? Just so when people read the minutes, they might have a better.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Can you give up that document? Yeah. Thank you. Okay. We'll have keep it, and then we'll have Sam get his information to you, and you can email it. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Okay. Anyone else in the audience? Okay. Seeing no hands up. No. Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing portion at 7:28:48. Council. Further discussion. Councilperson Watson.
I did have a question about setbacks. I'm looking on page 116 with the different setbacks for front, rear, and side. And Mr. Burnett had mentioned something about unless it's residential, next door residential has to be 150 feet. But I'm not seeing that in the ordinance, and I'm wondering where that is specifically. Page 116 of the handout.
So it needs to be 150 feet from the front, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether or not I misstated or not, but so the setbacks are 150 feet from the front, 50 feet on the rear and then 50 feet on the sides. But then the residential property component is it would increase to 600 feet if there was a view from inmate housing or recreational areas to residential property. So those are the only setbacks that we're talking about.
Okay, so it's actually 600 feet if there's a view, but if there's no window on that side, it only needs, like, I suppose there was a wall on the rear, but there was no windows in the rear. It would only need to be 50 feet, but if there was a window, it needs to be 600 feet?
If it was viewable from residential property.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So even just one window.
Even just one window, if it's viewable from residential property or has a view of residential property, then it increases the setback.
Okay. So if they want to take advantage of being only 50 feet from the rear and the side, those will have to be blank walls, correct?
Either blank walls or have architectural features that would block it, that would limit the range of sight that they would have,
okay.
You know, trees or bushes or other things. That there are a range of different mitigation factors that could be employed.
In the landscaping section, it's called out in the landscaping section.
And that's something that the applicant can say, we cannot have a view of residential property. We want to have a window here. How do we block a view of residential property? Maybe there's another building in front. Maybe there's a wide range of things. We don't say how they're going to accomplish it, just what they will ultimately accomplish.
I guess my concern is, would someone argue that, well, the inmates don't go by there very often, or that's part of the laundry room, they're not by that window? I'm trying to figure out how we would deal with that if someone pushed back.
You're wanting to change that? And
I'm trying to understand how it's going to work in practice.
It's pretty simple.
Okay. So no windows, basically.
Well, no view.
No view. We would require, as part of this, that the county, the applicant, identify those areas where prisoners could potentially be. And then we would say, based upon that, you know, we will see where the windows are.
And the measurement is from the residential property to the jail. That's where you're getting the 600.
Correct.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Councilperson Watson? Okay. Councilperson Olson, and then Hanson, and then Goodrich.
Yoria, going back to your drawing up there, I realize that's just conceptual, but just using that drawing from 150 feet, or from the street, rather, do you have any idea what that would be to the actual jail portion, how many feet that would be?
The one that I showed... was accurate with the front property line, give or take a couple feet, where it was 150 feet back to the jail, to the support services for the jail. To the jail itself, probably another 75 feet, maybe another 100 feet to it, which would take it back to about 300 feet.
So we're almost at the 300 feet.
Plus the 50-foot right-of-way, you're right about 350 feet there for the actual jail. In that diagram?
Okay. So we're really talking about pretty much what we have now is 300 feet from the street to the actual jail portion would be 300 feet.
Only with this particular design, though, correct?
In that particular design.
Yeah, well,
design.
We don't know what's there. But that rendering was through your talks with the county is kind of what they're looking at for a model?
Not the setbacks. As far as the model of where the buildings are in relation to one another, yes. But then what I did is I grouped them all together, and then I was able to move it back and forth to accommodate setbacks.
That's just a concept.
Just a concept.
Okay.
And it is important that council knows that don't be sold on that concept and don't be totally against it because it's not what's going to be built.
Correct.
But they're discussing changing of the setback.
Yes.
Correct.
Corrected. We're trying to determine setback.
Councilperson Hanson?
I have a concern about the setbacks. I'm hearing, if it was accurate, that it wasn't a unanimous decision of the Planning Commission, at least there were, and that the change from 350 feet.
Can you go microphone?
I'm trying to.
It's hard with your computer.
Yeah. The change from 350 feet down to, 300 feet, down to 100 feet, 150 feet.
350 to 150.
So 350 to 150.
So we took 200 feet out of the ordinance. Why? I never did garner why that change, what the thinking was behind that change.
The thinking behind it was that the 350 feet was arrived at somewhat arbitrarily, where in 2006, 350 feet was what the council at that time felt comfortable with, and that looking at it and saying, what would this city do now if 350 wasn't part of the discussion, that 350 feet was twice as large, three times as large as any other setback that we have in the city, that the majority of the Planning Commission felt that it was appropriate to reduce it down to 150 feet. Now, 150 feet is not necessarily less arbitrary than the 350 feet.
Right, it's still three times as much as we normally have or more. And realizing that effectively, the 150 feet from our explanation tonight is really 200. Because when you include the road on this site, but we're really not talking about necessarily this site. We're not supposed to talk about this site. We're supposed to talk about what would be any correctional facility inside the city of Ferndale. So if this site doesn't work, for example, they may come up with a different site, and at that point we are unable to. I'm having a difficult time. I don't have a problem with taking the 50-foot road and saying, okay, it's going to be from the outside of that road, not the inside of the road. I'm kind of into splitting the difference, like instead of saying 150 feet, that when you include the road, let's make it 250 feet total. That way, it's still possible to build a facility, from my understanding. There's just more open space in front, less, as you know, view. I don't know if there's fences going to be built and that sort of thing, but it's just back far enough. And if the tree line ever were to develop into apartments, at 70 feet high, after the fact, there could be a visual line after the fact that, I'll leave it at that. I need to come back with an amendment here shortly.
Councilperson Goodrich, then back to Watson.
I guess I could come from the opposite viewpoint, going back to like we talked about retail and stuff, a box is a box to me. I'm after listening, to some of the discussion and things, I would go along with the 150 feet. And based off of that, I'd like to make a motion that we accept Agenda Bill 1309-002 and the changes as presented in the ordinance.
With the lighting? I'm sorry.
No, he hasn't added amendment, so it's not proper for you to add it for him.
That was going to be my question, if he was adding the lighting.
It doesn't appear he's adding a lighting.
The lighting was already addressed in the ordinance. I don't understand what
No.
It is. We talked about an amendment, but no, you're good to go.
Yeah, so I'm making my motion based off of what was presented here tonight, and if somebody wants to make an amendment to that motion, we can
Thank you.
I will second that. And I think we have some confusion here. I know we talked about lighting, but he talked about a lighting study so that it would not reflect into homes.
Correct. So Brent's ordinance would approve the lighting as written in this proposal. Yori had said you could add an amendment that required a lighting study as a requirement.
But doesn't Eagle address lighting?
Yori.
To where we wouldn't necessarily, if they're building it to Eagle standards, wouldn't that also include a lighting issue?
Eagle does not necessarily address it since everything in Eagle is elective. they could choose not to concentrate on that. What the conversation I was having with the city administrator, and he is correct, is as part of the conditional use process, we might not necessarily need to even add an amendment here, where the city could request as a part of the conditional use that the county submit a lighting study.
Yeah, the thought is that, again, going to what we're talking about here tonight, we don't know if they're going to build what we saw on the screen. So we wouldn't know what to study. We don't know how big the buildings are, where they are, where the lighting would be proposed. But when we get to the conditional use phase, we will have a site plan, we will have design. Just like what we think about it is that we did a lighting study for our new library to figure out if the skylights will be providing enough light for reading versus the other lighting. So, I mean, there's companies out there that do that, but we needed a design for them to study. And so I think, if possible, since lighting, I think, is one of the legitimate concerns, you don't know what you're going to get until you're going to get it, so we won't know that until the conditional use process. So if we can...
So are we seeing consensus from council to move this along that Yori could do the lighting on conditional use?
If that's a possibility, yes.
I think Yori sees the direction of council. I see no other discussion. You've got direction from council. You may.
Yori, oftentimes when we do conditional use process, we do a legal notice and we invite public comment, and then we incorporate those comments into conditional use processes. Staff, though, could still require the lighting study on its own without getting a public comment on that topic?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. Further discussion. I saw Councilperson Watson's hand first, then Councilperson Hansen.
I guess I wasn't at the Planning Commission meeting, so I would like to ask Mr. Burnett, was the reason for the setbacks in general, because we're changing, are we changing them for aesthetic purposes, or was it a security thing? People want prison or jail to be as far away from them as humanly possible, or is there some sort of aesthetic issue?
Question to our planning director.
It was a combination of both of those, aesthetics and security. But then also originally, one of the first questions that I asked of Planning Commission, some of whom had been here in 2006, was, do you know why this was created? And there was a comment that because we felt that it would be enough to prevent one of these from coming in, which told me that's not a good reason. That is, in fact, an illegal reason to have it. So with 350 feet being seen as this is a way to prevent a jail without actually saying that we'll prevent it, because there are only so many properties in Ferndale in this zone that could have a 350-foot setback, that's where we started saying, okay, we're starting from scratch rather than the 350 feet. And then, it was a combination of the aesthetics. What does a tall building look like, a 35-foot tall building look like at 150 feet compared to 350, compared to 400? We actually showed that to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission majority felt comfortable with this, but there were some planning commissioners that did not.
So was the 600-foot, is that also with line of sight? Are you assuming that no one could discern your face from 600 feet, or did someone just pull that number out?
You can't see it.
I mean, is there a reason 600 versus 500 feet?
That was a question that the chief of police and I talked about, where he commented and he said at 650 feet, you can still recognize someone from the gait of their walk.
Mm-hmm.
I think the curvature of the earth isn't such that 650 feet necessarily gets you. You might.
It's two football fields.
It's two football fields. So it is far. That's one of the reasons why we kept it in, because we want to provide a significant disincentive for that.
And I'm fine with the numbers as they are. I just prefer to have a technical reason for numbers rather than, 50 feet sounded good to me, or I liked 150 feet. So I'm comfortable with the numbers.
Duly noted. Councilperson Hansen?
I'm going to offer an amendment regarding the setbacks from residential area. The amendment is 250 feet plus the road. And if the road has a 50-foot right-of-way, it would be effectively 300 feet. I believe that's still possible, and I won't discuss it until we get a second.
I'll second that.
Then I'd like to speak to it.
Okay.
Well, I think it's still possible. It creates a situation where, from the front, in this instance, the ordinance will still say 150 in the front, but because it's attached to a residential across the street, it will force the front to be another 100 feet. And I believe that creates that kind of a comfortable setback for the people that live across the street.
Clarification from clerk on your motion?
Sure.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Is it 250 feet plus the roadway or including the roadway?
No, plus the roadway. Okay. Right now it's 150 plus the roadway, and I'm suggesting we add 100 feet to that.
So for the residential setback to be set at 250 feet plus the roadway?
Plus, well, in this instance, with the bounty plus the roadway, on the sides, it would still be 250 feet. But the only side that has residential
or
would be
anything that would be considered jail facility.
Well, it's the essential public facilities portion of this facility. Does not include the office facilities, as has been pointed out earlier.
May I read back what I have?
Certainly.
Councilmember Hanson moved that the residential setback be set at 250 feet for an essential public facility.
Is that different than 600 feet?
It's a different concept.
Different context. The 600 is the line of sight from a residence.
So you'll add a 5 to section 3-A. You'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5.
Instead of the 150 that's in this, mm-hmm. that would be struck and then go to 250.
So you won't
there's
say
two 150. There's two 150.
That's my confusion too.
Mm-hmm. One of them is a front setback of 150.
That remains.
You've got to remember, we're not talking a specific facility. We're not talking the facility on Labonte Road. We're talking in general.
Yeah.
That the front setback is 150.
Yes.
If it happens to have a residential right across the road from it, as the Labonte facility does, then that increases to 250.
So the residential setback will be set at 250.
Yet the front will be at 150. Does that make sense?
So he is adding another line. Number 5.
If I can interject, if you look on page 107 of your packet, this is under secure community transition facilities. And you can see that it says siting criteria. Number 2, we have the number 2 is the line of sight, that's at 600 feet. Mm-hmm. Number 3, then it says, an SCTF shall not be located within 350 feet of the residentially zoned property, and then it tells you. Now, further on here, if you look on page 109, and this is again for the secure community transition facilities, then it talks about setback, and in this case it's 25 feet, 25 feet, and 25 feet. So if I'm hearing what you're saying, you would like to have the six, for jails, you would like to have a 600 line of sight, 600 foot line of sight, 250 from any residential, and then the setbacks of 150 front, 50 rear, 50 side.
So we need to add number 5.
Yeah, I guess where I'm creating the confusion with everyone is that it was my understanding we were reducing the 350 residential setback down to 150.
It doesn't actually call it out, though. It doesn't actually call it out
somewhere?
What I think they did was they pulled the 350 out of the correctional facility.
Started new.
And then in the setback took what used to be, I don't know what it used to be, and made it 150.
From the front.
So but as you can see from the secure community transition facilities, there's one on top, there's one and then the other.
I think we're adding a line.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The text that the city administrator was quoting was almost word for word exactly what used to be in there that we then took out, just because for a variety of reasons our city attorney felt that this language was really unworkable. So I think that adding another line for the 250 feet from residential property would work better than that initial one.
If approved. Okay, Councilperson Goodrich.
I'm still a little confused on what you're proposing. Are you just talking about the front setback, or are you dealing with any setback?
Any setbacks that involves residential properties.
Okay.
Councilperson Watson?
Are we talking existing residential property or an existing residential zone?
Yeah, that's my list.
Because there's no property in the tree line now, but that is residential zone, so does it need to be 250 feet from the zone or only when?
It says in the secure community transition section, it says residentially zoned property, not existing structures.
And I'm wondering if we should amend his amendment.
The tree line property zoning is
residential office, so it is considered a residential. So there in this particular site, there would be 250 from the east and 250 from the north.
But let's go back to that site because we know that we have the Midden site, the archaeological site that can't be touched, and then we have a ravine. Then we have the woods. Maybe I'm the only person who's ever walked that property.
But this isn't the only site in Ferndale. So if suppose they don't build here and they decide they found another site that is surrounded by residential zones, but there's no housing there yet. But there could be housing there. I really do want to make it so that we're not just talking about the LeBounty site. I mean, this should be something that so if the LeBounty site doesn't happen, we still have something
front,
in our ordinance.
Front.
All the way around.
All the way around.
Okay. Community Development Director?
The only other vacant site in the manufacturing zone south of Smith Road is alongside Creighton Road, which is kind of just north and west of the site. It's a relatively long site. It's long, it's not that deep. So a 250-foot setback would be along the LeBounty Estate side, which would render that site fairly unbuildable with a 50-foot rear setback for such a facility as this. So my belief would be that with this amendment, it would make it so only this LeBounty site could have a jail facility on it.
And the conundrum is we're not supposed to be considering this site. We're supposed to be considering the ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's hard to do.
Even though there's no other site.
Yes.
And, Councilperson Hanson?
And I want to correct something because I was here in 2006, and I do not believe that we considered the 350 feet in order to prevent all facilities from ever being built. I just don't have that recollection. I think it was more along the lines of where do we set this? Do we set it at 5? Do we set it at 250? Do we set it at 100? And somebody came up with 350, and we all accepted it. Yep.
Picking out of the air. Okay, I have a motion for an amendment before you. Any further discussion on the amendment? Everyone clear on the amendment? Okay. All in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So,
3-2.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, I believe that amendments can be approved without a 4-1, it's the ordinance itself that requires a majority of the whole membership.
Thank you.
Okay, on the main motion. Everyone understand the main motion? 4 votes passes. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. 4-1. Okay, good job. Good discussion, Council. No, because we're moving the library bond vote to.
I'd like to see it.
Well, we have a full.
We do.
Now the party council members here.
Okay, to bring it back to regular council, Lloyd, you had missed it. We had pulled on the consent agenda the library bond ordinance, and because it was pulled with only 4, the vote couldn't go forward. Councilperson Olson does not wish to vote for the library bond ordinance. We could put it back on the consent agenda to be voted on now since we have the members.
We just put it on as a regular agenda item.
And we did not vote on it yet, though, correct?
No.
We just pulled it.
Correct.
That's correct.
Councilperson Goodrich?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the library bond ordinance as presented in the consent agenda originally.
Second.
Okay, then move in second. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye.
So you just killed the library project? Is that what just happened?
You know, Mr. Mayor, may I have the floor for a second?
Yes, you may have the floor. Okay, but can we go over this again, is that the library project does not go forward without bonding.
Yes.
So you have essentially killed a library project without bonding. So you have the floor, so I can calm down over here.
Because that does mean the library won't be built. Right.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I want you to understand the library's not going to be built.
I think I have the floor, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. We've let the contract to the contractor. I believe the majority of the council supported this. And the mayor is right. Without this $1.6 million in bond money, I guess we've got to halt the project.
And I guess I'd add, too, that we will be held liable to some extent by the contractor for lost profits and whatever else, that because we have awarded a contract. Mm-hmm. We haven't signed it, but we've awarded it.
But if we're not precluded from bringing it back in 2 weeks, I think that'll work. If we get a positive vote,
it has to be brought forward by people who voted no, correct? For reconsideration?
It's not reconsideration. We'll just bring a different ordinance.
You'll rewrite.
We'll
the
bring
ordinance.
You a different ordinance for modification. Okay. So it's a brand new ordinance.
I will not be here on the 16th.
Great. I think we'll have a vote.
Ingram will not be here either. Neither will Mr. Ingram.
Well, if that's the case, then the council members who vote against it that's how votes work. If the vote doesn't go forward, then they respond to the public. I mean, we don't really have control over how council members vote.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
I was the only one that voted did not have this thing. You were 6-1 the last time. All of a sudden, you've changed sides to come to. You don't want to vote for the bond either? Or did you understand what was going on?
I voted like you.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay. We can bring it up another time. If that's the case, we can vote for reconsideration.
There's no reconsideration. We'll keep bringing it back.
It has to go on the next council's agenda, brought forward by one.
You can reconsider right this instant.
Okay, it'll have a groundbreaking Saturday.
We can reconsider right this instant. I'm just saying.
I'll bring it up for reconsideration.
Sorry.
Right now?
Yes.
You can.
Yes, sure.
You can bring it up. Anyone who voted no can bring
with
it up.
With opposition of seeing no opposition to the rule saying that you have to bring it back the next meeting?
No, you can do.
The reconsideration is required to come to the next meeting.
The reconsideration in the rules states that you must bring it back in the next meeting. Or no, excuse me. You may bring it back in the next meeting, but it's not going to be taken care of until the following meeting. This is a reconsideration within the same meeting. I don't know that the rules even speak to that.
It does not, and Roberts allows you to do it now.
That's correct.
Okay. I thought we could do it now.
It is allowable to do now.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. So.
Was there a second to his motion?
Yes. Right.
Okay, moved and seconded.
And I'd like to speak to it.
Okay, your floor.
I am completely...
Speak to the reconsideration or the...
Yes.
Okay.
I am completely opposed to this for reasons I stated at the beginning. That I don't think it was... I think we were hoodwinked by the financing that came up and made us have enough and all of a sudden had that. We've already had that discussion. I've already lost. I was 6-1. Since everybody's pretty much proceeded on this, I guess I'll flip-flop on it, but I'm still opposed to it. I don't think it was right what they did, and I'll go to my grave with that. And with that, we can vote.
Further discussion?
Are we voting just to reconsider, and then we will
yes,
re-vote.
And then you reconsider.
Just wanted
okay,
to
so the vote is to reconsider, and then we'll vote. Okay, all in favor of reconsideration, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, so we are moving forward to re-vote on this proposal. Roll call vote.
You need a new motion?
Yes, no, the
no,
motion is back on the table.
The original motion.
The original motion was to approve this, yeah.
Correct. On the motion to approve the library bond ordinance, Councilmember Watson?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Olson?
Aye.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Aye.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Aye.
It passes 4-1 with Councilmember Zimmerman opposed to the library project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on, mayor reports. Thank you for that vote. Saturday at 10 o'clock, we'll have the golden shovel, the start of construction in the library that you just approved again.
Funny, Lloyd. Jesus Christ. You're lucky you're over there. I'm just saying, just stay over there for the next...
I want to be stated that I'm really upset with your jail vote. You know, for personal reasons, I don't want a new jail built. It's going to destroy my retirement plans. As Wendy will tell you, my company goes there at least once a month to fix the crummy plumbing. So you guys have destroyed my retirement plan, but maybe they won't build it for 10 years.
I bet you're making your living off replacing hot water heaters in Ferndale.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
I read that somewhere. I don't know where.
Unless you have a...
Okay, Saturday after you've gotten up and come to the golden shovel ceremony, you can later in the day attend the... Festus Patrius at Pioneer Park, or the following Saturday, I'd love to see you all at Vanderbilt Park at 9 to 12, clearing the lot that was donated to expand our park. So, great, love to see you.
And just thought I'd out an email with those dates.
Could.
Because we've already forgotten them.
Yes.
I thought we'd have prison labor to do that.
No.
Sit down, silence.
But we'll let you wear a striped suit if it makes you feel better. Wendy has them for you. Okay, department reports. Finance director.
The auditors have come and gone. We have a clean audit. In fact, there were no issues, so they canceled the exit conference.
I thought they just didn't want to meet with council.
Yes.
True. Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
City administrator.
Okay.
Planning director.
Our associate planner, Ryan Morrison's last day is this Friday. His wife are returning to the East Coast to raise their children next to the grandparents. We have a new assistant planner, Haley Miller, who is starting on Thursday.
Oh, good.
Clerk?
Nothing.
Public Works? Please. Council reports. I skipped over you. Okay, fine. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All three, sir, by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.